Hello, welcome again to the Monkeyfish podcast, and you're joined by myself, the Arrogant Apostle, and as always, I'm joined by...
The Specialist.
Specialist, okay. Normally I'd ask how you're doing, but yeah. I haven't got time, I just need to go into this shit.
Alright, okay.
Basically, there's been this ongoing story at the moment, it involves J.K. Rowling, the mm-hmm. author of Harry Potter, right? Okay. And obviously it's about people... She said something on Twitter. This happened a couple of months ago, but the story is ongoing, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel very strongly about this story, right? And she said, basically what she said was, there used to be a word for this group of people that menstruate. I don't know what we call them. What do we call them? Do we call them womban?
Right.
Woman? Woman? What is it? Do you know what I mean? And the trans community got annoyed. What do you think so far?
As a person who
is trans,
exactly, I am absolutely angry. I am raging right now. I mean, yeah, obviously there used to be consideration of the facts.
Yeah, facts.
The facts are now being, in my opinion, demonstrably bent by certain characters out there who are more looking for attention rather than.
They have an agenda.
They have an agenda that's about almost denying science.
Yeah.
And that's tough.
Yeah. And I feel like I don't want to say, because I'm not anti-trans, to be fair. I don't care about trans. It's not my topic.
I'm not anti-trans, but I don't care about trans.
I don't care. No, like being honest, I don't care about it because it's not part of my life.
Right.
Right. Like, okay. I don't care about it. It doesn't mean I don't like it. It just means that it doesn't affect me. And I don't.
But you're accepting.
Yeah, I'm accepting. I'm accepting. Okay. It's just like, it is what it is, but it's not for me.
It's not, you're not particularly involved in that discussion. Yeah, yeah. You got no dog in this fight.
Yeah, I've got no dog in a fight.
Okay.
But my dog.
Took us a while to help him there, people, but we got him there.
Yeah. But my dog here now is just arguing the fact.
Yeah.
Okay. And what it is like, as a woman, you must feel slighted.
I'm so glad you're coming out right now.
Yeah, as a woman, I'm coming out now as a woman.
I've been trying to get him to come out for ages. You know what I mean?
I identify as a pigeon. Yeah.
No wonder you're always chatting shit.
Anyway, so what's happened is like. She's got a lot of backlash for what she said, and the trans community feel slighted and say, you know, I'm just as much as a woman as you are. I'm just as much as a woman as you are. But then it overlooks the fact that you don't go through the processes that an actual woman does go through.
Yeah.
You don't go through menstruation. You don't go through menopause.
Yeah.
You don't go through periods. You don't go through those struggles. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. You just have the
changes
look.
Changes in your body as
it
well.
It changes like, the body. Yeah. You just have the look. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the fact that, like, they're trying to cancel her, right? And it's hit like a fever pitch recently because she recently released a book where the main character is a cisgender serial killer. Okay. And the thing is, like, I don't know what the word cisgender means,
mm-hmm.
right?
I know what it means. I think I know what it means. I mean, I could do with researching it, but that I really don't. Again, I don't have a dog in the
that
fight.
That prefix is a Hail Mary for you. It's a savior.
It is. Because I don't want to just go say. So I'm presuming a cisgendered person is basically traditionally gendered, such as heterosexuals, male or female.
I just want you to know right now. Yeah. There's a them. LGBT
yeah,
person.
Yeah, and a they, and a they.
There's a they person right now just going like, you motherfucker, that's not what it means. But like, no, I don't know what it means. Yeah.
I think it also must have something to do with binary, that someone who operates in a binary sexuality, because there's now a very broad spectrum. Just as a side note, Dave Chappelle's letters joke when he does the LGBT that is a brilliant joke. That is like, and he's like, and you know the trans are in the back and everyone don't like them because they make the journey harder.
Do you know what?
It's an excellent joke.
This is our first. This our first Dave Chappelle reference. How many are we gonna do? You know.
Yeah. So cisgender is that, but you see the problem with that is now you're. And again, reference to Dave Chappelle is like, do I need to participate Do I need to change my pronoun game to participate in yourself?
Exactly.
So when you say cisgender, I mean, for me, I've always perceived it as boy, girl, male, female, right? Woman, man.
Hmm.
So now I have to go say, oh no, cisgender. I'm adding something that I don't really need in my vocabulary.
I don't know anymore.
And I think that's, but in terms of J.K. Rowling, I think it's amazing that there's outrage against a woman who's trying to protect women's rights.
Yeah, women's rights.
That's a paradox, right?
Yeah, and that's why we're dogging a fight now, because now it's colonial. Before, it was like an occupation. Now it's like a colonialization of female.
Yes, of thought.
Of female. Of the idea of female, do you know what I mean? Like, at what point, because at some point, it's going to get to a point where trans people are defining women's rights.
That's true.
Do you know what I mean?
That's true.
And if you're a woman and you go, oh, that's not my right as a woman, then they'll go, well, you're being transphobic.
And I know, and it's egregious as well, because a trans woman would have lived the beginning of their life before the transition in the privilege of men. Yeah.
And they maintain that privilege when they transition.
When they transition.
Yeah.
And it's sort of disingenuous. It's kind of like, oh, now we're part of you. Now, because there was a lot of uproar. You hear about the uproar about trans women competing in women's sports. And the fact they're breaking records and shit like that.
Yeah.
Like that, I mean.
And there was a guy, a rapper, a UK rapper.
Mm.
And when that uproar was happening. I think it's like Ratman or something. There was an uproar because the trans woman was basically saying like, oh, well, you know, we're all the same as women, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And then, like, the guy, the rapper, he just basically went to the gym on a normal day and said, look, I'm not athletic, and it doesn't look athletic. It's a bit chubby, right? And then he literally just deadlifted and then broke the woman's record for a deadlift. And he's just, like, a regular guy. And he's like, look, just because I'm a man, I can do this. So you can't say you're a trans woman and you're competing equally with women. When you're masculine, when your biology...
I mean, the transition itself cannot... It can change a lot of things about your biology, but it can't reverse like everything. Those innate things, like such things as bone density.
Bone density and
how
strength.
How your muscle, strength and stuff like that.
And so size.
And size as well. That's key. Especially if you're doing a deadlift, man. You need all that shit.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You can load a lot more. I definitely know that as a man, I can load a lot more than a woman.
Exactly.
Even though there's like women bodybuilders, obviously they
who
can
look musclier than
but they've
you.
Had to train themselves
but even,
into
even,
that.
Even at but their if, strongest,
yeah.
they might not be as strong as you at your average. Do you know what I mean?
I don't know, but they're really,
for example,
I wouldn't go toe-to-toe with a bodybuilder. They look strong.
Well, that rap guy did it. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
He did it. Because the woman's deadlift record was set by a woman.
Mm.
And then he just walked into the gym
and just casually broke that record.
You know what I mean?
That's a good point.
So, I mean, there's that. But also, the other thing is that... So, because she released a new book, basically, people are cancelling that book because of her comments. And they're like, just apologize. But then it's like... What is she apologizing for? Because I'm not saying like, look, if you can convince me that she said something wrong, then I'm willing to change my opinion on it, right? Because I'm not dogmatic about it. I'm pragmatic. I'm willing to have my mind open. But I'm just saying like, at what point, there must be a point where a trans person is not a woman and they are a woman.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like. Yeah. If you look at the percentages, right? A woman is 100% woman.
Mm.
She's born that way. Her biology, physiology is all like that. A trans person...
Or behaving that way.
Yeah, a trans person can never be 100% woman.
No, no
There'll be 90% or 99.999, but they'll never be 100%.
I've had this,
and there's got to be respect for that.
I've had this thought process for a very long time because I feel like... But in view of also looking for a solution to end the discussion. And I think, okay... There's a lot of talk about women feeling uncomfortable with a trans woman using the same toilets as them, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I was like, why don't we just have toilets where it's got trans women and then trans men? What would be awkward about that?
Well...
Like, why couldn't we have sports that have trans women and trans men? And why can't we just accept, look...
It's a
should,
third...
You know you were a man once.
I think we should...
You know what I mean?
You're right. We should just make a third gender.
We should.
Yeah,
that's probably what it means.
I don't know. But the thing, it's funny you mentioned that because it brings me back to what I said to you a couple of days ago. I was like, with the toilet situation, I feel like there should be a toilet attendant with every woman's toilet now, right? If you're a trans person and you come through, That toilet attendant should be allowed to kick you in the balls. And here's my point. Here's my point. Let me make it make sense. Okay. So that toilet attendant should be allowed to kick you in the balls. And if they kick you in the balls, and it hurts because you still got balls, go to the fucking men's. If you got if you chopped your dick off and balls off, and then you got a vagina, it shouldn't hurt. Therefore, use the toilet.
As you can see, your ideas are far more radical than
mine. But they do the job though, don't they?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to really run a restaurant where I've got a toilet attendant just kicking people in the
ball. In the crotch.
You know, I don't think my business is going to survive, man.
Cunt punts,
man. I'd be cancelled. Look what they're doing to J.K. Rowling. She's making
Harry sense Potter, that Harry Potter's creator.
Listen, canceled. All I'm saying is that you can't judge Wingardium Leviosa the facts. You can't do it. Sometimes you have to just look at something and go, redacto.
Do you imagine, like, J.K. Rowling said that shit and it's a transfer, it's been like, Expelliarmus! I'm just saying. Like,
Alakazam!
Abracadabra.
Yeah, so I just think, like, we can't just reinvent what we've all...
You can't reinvent facts.
Yeah.
A fact is...
This is something I've been thinking about for ages. I think maybe it's about 6 years now. And a lot of these things have been happening in 6 years. And it's coming from different angles.
Yeah.
Where there's a rewriting of history. There's a rewriting of
and
science.
And there's a new level of participation.
Yeah.
That you're not part of in a discussion.
And you feel isolated. You're just like, but I learned this in year one. I know it's the truth. Like, I learned this as... And then you feel isolated because you're... okay with things making sense the way they are, yeah. Like, and so, well, I don't know, I think the whole trans discussion, I was watching a podcast, actually, of a trans woman who was having a similar discussion to us, and one of the things was, like, you have men now who don't do the full transition. She'd done a full transition, she looked alright, actually, you could not see that she was a man, and she says, if you don't do the full transition, then you're not really...
a woman.
Yeah, and so she was like, the problem for us now is that we're seeing these guys just wearing dresses and a wig, and they're just pulling it off like that. And one of the bodybuilders I saw when they showed the clip of it, that was a dude, man. That was a big dude with a wig. And it's the insolence of it.
Do you think it rocked up and everyone's like, that's just a nigger, though?
Yeah, dude, it's the insolence. It's the insolence of the entitlement of men. That we just went into another field and we just started shaking.
Yeah, like literally, it's like saying women are the most undermined majority in the world. Everyone's like, "What? I'm just gonna take over that majority."
Yeah, we took a majority, and now I want to be the victim. So it is, I'm saying to these are the characters who this woman was identifying as they're not doing it the right way.
Right. Yeah,
and so. I agree with J.K. Rowling on this, the fact that, like, she should not be silenced. She's just trying to mention things where we just need to have more controls.
Look, we're in, like, that space now. We're in that space now. And obviously, we have to identify certain things. It's like Rachel Dolezal saying that she's black. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Like, the whole community had to say, whoa.
But imagine if the community was like that, and then Rachel Dolezal got to harass the community and go... You're fucking racial-phobic because you don't accept my blackness.
She actually said that, didn't she? She said, I'm the first trans race.
There you go.
Yeah.
Transracial.
Transracial. And the insolence of it. Just, it was like, no, we can't allow it.
That was such a gratuitous comment. Yeah.
Elizabeth Warren saying that she was Native American and they did that DNA test and she was like one to 1 millionth. It's an exaggeration, but it was something so absurd.
It's an exaggeration.
She put it on the form for university.
Yeah,
it's the insolence of it. Yeah. So sometimes, but what if there could be trans races? I mean, we don't know, man. It's just a fluctuating meme.
Oh, right. Identifying as a white man. We don't know. Identifying as a white man. I just think everything is possible. Anything is possible, you know, when you identify as a white man. When I was identifying as black, I couldn't get jobs.
We laugh now, but you know what? In maybe what? 50 years, this conversation will be irrelevant. In fact, it would be like,
you know what,
people would just be more accepting.
You know what? It's not that people aren't
the fact that we can bend reality.
But you know what? I don't think it's the fact that people don't want to be accepting. It's the way it's being made. Because it's not that you accept, it's that you're forced. You're forced or eliminated from society. Yeah. Right? So, for example, at the moment, like, you are literally trying to discredit this woman's work because she felt something about as a woman and she wanted to support a woman's right. But because you felt slighted as a man, that she didn't invite you in a woman's right. Do you know what I mean? Like,
we're talking about some of them, innit? We need to prefix that. No, like, obviously. Because we're not generalizing.
The intention is not to generalize. Yeah, talking about something that's
specific. Some are like that.
We are talking about specific incident. Because we're speaking about J.K. Rowling. We're not speaking about any person who's had that.
Okay.
We're speaking about a specific person, a specific situation, a specific incident, right?
Okay.
That happened. And it's just the idea that, like, you are now saying, like, this person's body of work is now discredited. Because you, as a man, can't infiltrate her ideology. Not even her work, because she hasn't done work where, like, trans people are getting killed.
In the specifics of the fact that it's a woman. Exactly. And you're discrediting her work. Representing as a woman, too, as well.
Like, that's the thing. You're a man. Yeah, that's the thing.
It's so confusing.
It's so confusing. And the thing that's even further annoying is that you have people now who aren't trans who are still going to J.K. Rowling and going like, just apologize, J.K. Rowling, just apologize. And you're you identify as a man. So, you know what I mean?
You know, that's not the first time it's happened to her. She put a tweet up and, you know, Daniel Radcliffe. They all turned against her. Daniel Radcliffe and Ron Weasley.
This all stems from this.
Yeah.
This all stems from...
Is it the same story?
It's the same tweet. Yeah, but okay. It's been ongoing. Because basically, she put the tweet...
Twitter's mad.
Twitter's crazy.
So mad.
So, she put the comment out. After she put the comment out, Harry Potter got a lot of flack. And then the actors of Harry Potter got a lot of flack. So, they disassociated with her. And then she's recently released a book with this this main bad guy. Ah, right, in the book, the villain is a cisgender person.
Okay.
I don't know what cisgender means. No. So I can't.
Maybe it's just villains. I can't. Maybe that's it.
The problem is that I don't know what cisgender means, so I can't read into the characterization at all. I can't.
All you have to do is just Google it, man.
I'm not going to Google cisgender. I don't want cisgender. To Google it
either. I feel like that's another way of conceding. We just start googling it.
I don't care enough. I'm not gonna Google what cisgender means. Yeah, if you know what cisgender means, yeah, good for you.
Send us a pigeon.
Don't
send us a pigeon message. Let us know. So it's long enough so we can also forget that we cared.
Yeah, because it's not a part of my life. I just don't have an opinion.
We don't need it. That's the thing. There's an exhaustion of adding to the facts that is also not helping us because you know, like I don't need to have. I don't need to have a mental breakdown, a life-changing, deeper understanding to why you need me to start calling people cisgendered. I don't need to have that.
It's more confusing.
It's more confusing. It's like, all right, the male and female, some are trans women, some are trans men. And then there's like the other guys, isn't it?
They're calling the other guys, isn't it? Oh, you're not trans. Oh, you're just one of the other guys, aren't you?
You're just one of the other guys. And I feel that's still respectful in a way, because you're like, hey, you add to the spectrum.
You know what? What's funny is like it's so hilarious, right? I saw a couple of kids and they were talking to each other in the park and they were like, I identify as a purple strawberry. And I was like, even kids think this is getting too far. Kids are quite accepting. They're quite accepting.
That's an amazing thing about kids.
I know, and they're just like, yeah, I identify the purple strawberry, and it was like I'm a unicorn.
Awesome. You know, actually, I was on Good Morning Britain.
You was on a TV show.
Yeah, they invited me on. They listened to our podcast. They were like, the special's a good speaker. Let's get him on.
Let's get that nigga on.
I was like, gonna pass up that chance.
Yeah. And she said in those words, like, get that nigga on. Yeah, she was right when she said it. That wasn't racist at all.
So they had like, they had a debate about changing how kids call each other in gender and identification in schools. They were actually, and there was a school that was doing it in Brighton way, you know, down south that
the
way.
The gay place.
Yeah.
No, listen, yes, listen. If you're American, right, you have to understand, Brighton in England is equivalent of like San Francisco. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's just a gay...
That's a leap.
San Francisco is...
San Francisco
is the gay capital of, of America.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh. And Brighton is the gay capital of England. Oh. So I'm just saying, if you're in America and someone said San Francisco and you said the gay place, everyone would be like, yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah. And, yeah, so there were actually in school they were saying that the kids can change whatever they want to be each day.
Do you know what? And I just like, imagine a like, class full of mistakes for X-Men.
The school for gifted children.
That's what they've opened. The school for gifted children. I bet the headteachers are bored.
What are they? The shapeshifters. They can be whatever they want.
It is true. Listen. It's wild, but it's true, isn't it? So, yeah, what are you saying?
Exactly. And what's interesting about it?
I just like the idea that in the morning, the kid's going to be like, I identify as a man. And then by, like, dinner time, like, I identify as a penguin.
Yeah, and they encouraged it. And they actually told the other kids that if someone identifies as as a different gender, you are not to bully them or do anything like that. So they actually encourage people to do it more often.
Who's bullying people?
No, but like you know, the issue for trans peoples is that they grew up going through these experiences young, right? And the way they behaved or could get them bullied or shut out of the
system, I get what you're saying.
They're trying to encourage tolerance
I get what you're saying.
Everyone sort of kind of picking their genders anytime they want. Yeah?
I just feel like this is...
They said it worked.
Here's my point.
So kids were very accepting as
well. Here's my point. The idea is noble, but it's an unnecessary war. Just because...
Yeah, exactly.
Kids are naturally accepting. Like, I've worked in education, right? And, like, I've seen kids know the other kids in the class is gay, and they just won't bully that shit because modern kids now don't. People, adults, grown-ups of the past do. Do you know what I mean? Like, your dad might be homophobic, but your nephew probably doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
And probably has
The kids are... Progressive, the kids now. Just, it's going to keep going with each generation.
Like, each generation is less and less prejudiced.
But that's what I'm saying. Particularly with the school, they were trying... What do you call it?
That's what I'm saying, though. Like, it's a weird thing to do, because I feel like the kids are... Do you know, it's like if you're about to clean up your litter and then someone comes and tells you, don't litter, you're like, great news, but I'm already doing it. Like, you should have had that idea, put it to adults who, in a community that is racial, that is a prejudice towards that.
I don't understand what you're trying to say.
So, for example, you're preaching to the choir, is what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
They're just preaching to the choir.
Oh, okay.
Kids are quite accepting.
But they're not like...
So that was going to happen anyway.
Yeah,
so
like the fact breaking that down the information and
well, yeah, here's what I'm saying. Like, so, that was going to happen anyway, because most kids, even if they're around other gay kids who they think are gay or whatever, they just don't bother with they're not prejudicing like that, right? Mm. Adults do it. Mm. Focus on adults. But what you're doing, you're preaching quiet. And it's like saying, I'm going to teach the next generation to be less racist, but
there were these protests about... that school in our country, in Birmingham.
Who did that, though? Yeah. Was it kids or adults?
No, it was they were, again, doing it with kids. And they were...
Who protested, though?
The Muslim community.
Kids? Muslim kids or adult?
Dude, Muslims? Let me finish the thing. I'll tell you. All right, okay. Jesus.
All right, relax.
So...
Okay, worked up over some gay shit. Sorry. Apologies. Anyway, carry on.
So, The school was teaching, had an extra lesson that the kids would go to, which was about tolerance training. Mm. And basically was trying to teach children about, and make them more aware about relationships between same sexes.
Yeah.
So the Muslim community were protesting about that because they do not believe in that. Mm-hmm. And they didn't bring their children to school to learn about that. So it's got like a very dual complexity where it's like, they're trying to infuse tolerance at a young age, and to go, I'm answering to your point, they're trying to infuse tolerance at a young age because the problem is intolerance tends to build from there. But if you infuse tolerance at a young age, then in adulthood, they can manage it better because they know they lived their life where they didn't really care about this shit. So what they're doing is mainly focusing on the younger generation, because I realize that this generation is changing in terms of their understanding and their viewpoint on tolerance. But they've understood that if you want to make generational changes that can last, you need to now infuse that information into the younger population. But the problem is, it's in contrast with the traditional beliefs of other people, and you're still violating their rights, because when I take my kids to school, I want them to be to grow in tolerance, but mainly I want them to know how to count. I want them to know how to write. I want them to know how to I want them to understand the world around me. I know that I will be able to teach them tolerance, and I know that the school will do that as well, but you know, it's not my main focus.
Okay, well, okay.
They should have an extra lesson to go through that.
Okay, you know, so hear me out. I've heard everything you said, and I say you're right. You're 100% right, and I agree with everything you say. But now, me playing devil's advocate, I am playing devil's advocate. This is not my belief.
Yeah.
Isn't it the right of every parent to teach their own kids what they want them to believe?
Yeah, that's something I actually believe in as well.
So then again, because think about
it. What if the parents are serial killers?
It's incumbent on them to do that. It's incumbent on them. And this is the other thing where it's like, who has more rights over your children? Does the system, the society you live in, or you as a parent?
Yeah, that's a tough thing.
That's a tough thing. Yeah. Because, like, for example, there are ideologies that you teach your children. Everyone has certain ideologies that are considered not fit for society, and we impart those ideologies. I'm not protecting those ideologies, because some of them are just flat out wrong. For example, homophobia. Teaching your kids homophobia is wrong. It's evil. Transphobic is evil. It's to do that. But as a parent, I'm guessing you have a right to do that. But I am being a devil's advocate here.
But again, I mean, that's the importance of education, isn't it? The education is there being aware that obviously this kid's going to be nurtured in a different environment where they're not going to get the most information. So you got to put them into an institution where they're going to be stuck there for like 6 hours and get the right information so that they can then discern between what's right and what's wrong
when they're
in the home. So essentially, a parent has every right to do whatever they want with their kid, but there needs to be protections in place.
I think there needs to be an opt-in option for this.
Like a contract.
Yeah, no, like, there's it. For example, like, when it comes to, like, religious studies, if you feel strongly about it,
I agree. That was my solution. Yeah. I think the mistake they made at that school is that they introduced that lesson without consulting with other parents who may not want their children to be there.
Yeah.
And there should have been an opt-in or opt-out, or at least a discussion to why they're doing this, and they could have understood each other on level.
Considering,
but they just went for it.
Yeah, considering as a taxpayer, you're paying for that system.
Yeah,
so you want
to learn specific things. And that's a serious thing. That's why some people put their kids into private school, isn't it? Because they're like, look, I'm paying for this, so I want to make sure you're getting the best education.
The education I want you to get.
So it was very presumptuous of them at the same time. And same thing with the school, where they're changing genders of the kids. If I'm a parent who doesn't want my kid to be to just know that, I just want you to know you're a boy. I don't want you to go off on one. I just want you to know you're a boy. So you go into a school that is encouraging the other. So the strategy is similar to J.K. Rowling's story.
Yeah.
Is that the strategy is, like you said, colonization.
Because it's becoming a form of colonization it's like trans men. I don't know about trans women going into the men position. Obviously, I don't know anything about
it
that.
It doesn't seem as much of a...
they don't seem as prevalent as trans men.
I don't hear a lot of negative stories coming out of that. Well, but as men, I don't know.
I think it's the male privilege that's pushing the gender.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's the male privilege that's pushing the gender. And that's really what focusing it, because it's the trans men who are going into women who are then saying, like, oh, I'm just as much as woman as you are, but physically you're not.
And some, again, that's why I had to say, we've got to be discerning.
Obviously not all of them. But I'm saying that the ones who do say that, then it's fine you feel that way, but it's not a fact like that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Maybe they benefit just talking to J.K. Rowling rather than...
Well, they've cancelled her now, so they can't talk to her, can they? She's dead now. They shot her.
That's where we're heading to, isn't it?
This episode is about her funeral.
A man just appeared outside her house and they just took her
back
in.
Back of the head. Just a straight cap. With a silencer. She rolled, he barreled it. He, she rolled the barrel.
She was like, no, don't do it, don't do it. Tell you what, I'll write another Harry Potter book. And they were like, should we? Okay, yeah.
No, wait. She's like, I'll write another Harry Potter book. It's like, is Dumbledore going to be trans? No, he's gay already. No, unless you shot him. So what happened?
That's what cancel culture is going
on. Yeah, cancel culture is going on. Cancel culture is going to end with people just shooting people in the back of their heads.
Just literally disappearing people.
It's going to be Minority Report, isn't it?
And all the social accounts will just close down as well. It's like they'll be completely erased.
Like Minority Report. It's going to be that. It's going to be that.
Yeah. Talking about cancel culture, have you heard about this story about Netflix wants to be cancelled? Have you heard about
why? That? What's happening on Netflix?
So recently, Netflix released this film that was made by a French person.
Okay.
Well, I have to say person now, because the revelation gets further.
Do you know what's
right?
funny is that as soon as you said French, my head just went like, there's some sex shit in this film. Some sex shit. But carry on.
Exactly. So, this French person made a film about these four girls who want to be in who like dancing and are in a dance competition, want to be in a dance competition. And they are learning about their dancing from all the material they watch on the internet. And they called it Cuties, right? So the first time I got wind of this story is that Netflix released it with this poster. And on the poster is some salacious shit, man. It's just these four girls doing like really sexual, they're about 11, 12 years old, and they're doing like really sexual poses, like a twerk, like really sexualized facial expressions. And there was a big uproar about that. So Netflix changed it to something more innocent. And then people watched the film and they really saw some of the things that were happening in the film that caused even more of an uproar. And they're calling it some kind of like pedophilia thing to sexualize the girls, because in the film the girls are like fucking twerking.
How would like, girls?
The girls are like, they're literally so young, man. They're like, you can tell they're 11 10 11. That's what they're depicting, and the girls are that age as well, so there's that added effect of reality.
Mm-hmm.
And they just there's a lot of shots, a lot of zoom ins to their asses when they're dancing and they're fucking doing that. So the photography is really messy. There's one scene where the security guard is trying to get him to leave this building, and they're like, no, and they're having this kind of normal, you would think you're watching a family film. And then this other fat security guards come over, and the lead is this black girl, who is a Senegalese, I think, yeah, Senegalese immigrant into France. Her mom was married to a guy who's gone back home to fetch another wife. That's the premise of the thing. So that has made her lose her connection with her dad, and now she's acting out. And in acting out, they're watching this material. She meets a lot of friends. They're watching this material on the internet of, like, Nicki Minaj and all these kind of dance routines, isn't it?
Right.
And they're emulating that.
Right.
So in this scene, this fat guy, security guard, comes over, and the girl starts dancing, the black one, and it's like doing some like ass popping, fucking dipping, you know, like really, and just like the eyes, sexual eyes. And the fat guy is just looking so pervy, like with a big smile. And when the scene's over, and they just kind of sort of dance away. They all dance away like that. You think, what was that about?
Do you know what?
It's like it lunged the
and a side camera note, work. And a side note.
Just lingered on the scene. And it was just like, what?
And a side note. This film sounds like it's a Sucker Punch without the sci-fi.
Yeah, I mean, but that's fantasy, you know?
That's it. That's literally it. Says Sucker Punch without the sci-fi.
Yeah, actually, with the whole...
Because those girls were getting raped, didn't they? They're prostitutes, yeah, and they're just imagining shit.
Yeah, I've been like hearing a lot about the story, and I've heard from... And one of the most interesting was that a lot of Hollywood sexualizes very young women.
But all TV sexualizes people.
Yeah?
All TV...
Yeah, but there's a lot of Hollywood productions or anything that they've put out. Like things like Lolita and films like that, it's about older men with younger women, right? And that they've been doing productions like that for a long time. So shouldn't be as shocking, but some of the scenes are just like, there's one where they're just, the camera is kind of like zooming in and they're just dancing on the stairs. And you know, if I was a pedophile right now, I'd be like, I'm getting this membership, you know?
Do you think that's why Netflix did it?
Well, no, I don't think that's why Netflix did it. I'm thinking that I'm saying I'm saying the photography.
No, I understand.
It wasn't handled responsibly.
It's not that it's not responsibility. It's that people were shown the truth and they didn't like it.
Yeah, you see, the conversation is important because there's a lot of especially these hip hop videos. Where's the newest one? Wet Ass Pussy with.
I have no idea.
Magadhi, you haven't heard that song.
I've never heard any of it, to be honest with you.
No, it's Megan Thee Stallion and Cardi B. That tune, Wet Ass Pussy, it's got the sickest hook ever. Anyways, a lot of shit is happening on a lot of shit is happening on that video. And obviously younger girls at the 11, at 10, 11, who've got iPhones, I've got smartphones now, and they can log on to YouTube, and they're tuning into these things, might think that this is the appropriate way to be.
Okay, I hear what you're saying.
So the conversation is important to have about...
I hear what you're saying. Yeah. The better conversation is that, as a parent, why aren't you being responsible? For example, right, you have siblings, I have siblings, right? Mm. Your siblings have kids, my siblings have kids,
yeah,
right? And my siblings have daughters, and my sibling's daughter would not even watch that shit,
yeah,
right? They'll watch some stuff, but they'll know, like, nah, this isn't to watch. Because their parents have made the effort to teach them, like, don't, you know.
Yeah, but...
So if your kid, if you're complaining to Megan Thee Stallion, like, you dancing like that's making my daughter want to do it, Megan Thee Stallion should be like, why are you letting your daughter watch me?
Oh, no, yeah, I'm not dissing that. I'm all champion, it's great music.
I'm just saying, who's responsible?
Yeah, but the idea of the story is to say that, one, just the material being out there, okay, is exposed to a lot of children who may not have the strength that those children who have been raised in that way have, okay, to avoid it. So it's about
here's my point.
I
accept your point. What I'm saying is that who does the responsibility lie on? The filmmaker didn't make it for kids to watch. He made it for adults to watch, right? Yeah, so if your kid's watching it, you as an adult are responsible for what your kid watches. Yeah. That's the whole point of being an adult. You're responsible for that child. That wasn't made for kids to watch. That was made for you to watch because... That was made because the director is trying to show you a reflection of what the world is. If that film wasn't called Cuties and it was called Black Mirror, everyone would accept that as content. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's only that it's been packaged differently to a way they're not used to.
Yeah, actually.
You know what I mean?
Now you say that. When you put it that way, yeah, I agree. Because if it was like a Black Mirror episode, I wouldn't really bat an eyelid. I don't think anyone would have bat an eyelid because it's part of that genre, isn't it?
Yeah.
The genre of shock.
Yeah.
This kind of is presented as a drama.
Yeah.
You know, and a drama and an opinion piece sort of that you should be involved in. And because... And this is what I'm saying. But also,
remember, because we're talking this conversation right now.
Yeah, it's already...
The director has achieved his goal.
Well, the director's a woman.
Mm-hmm.
She's black Senegalese.
Right.
I think. But she's African anyways. Yeah. She's French. And she said that she was walking down the street one day, and she saw these girls on the side, and they were dancing the way
that's why she made the film.
She found it very shocking.
I think that as well. Like, oftentimes, like, do you know when you're walking down the street and then you see, like, a little girl wearing hot pants or something like that? And you're like...
I feel that way.
And you're like, why? But I don't feel that for her because I just feel like she's a child, she doesn't know better. Yeah. But I'm like, the parent, why would you buy this? I'm not judging parents. Like, if you feel like as a parent, like, that's the kind of kid you want to raise, then you raise that kid and find us for you. But I'm just saying, like, as a person, like, I would not have my kids walk around with belly with crop tops on shorts. No. Like, wear shorts. Of course, wear shorts.
It's just the understanding. Okay, so what she's also exposing is that it's just the knowing we as adults now and then turn parents whenever.
I think
it's just the knowing that of the danger out there.
I think
by letting those kind of problems
come into your child's life. I think there's a wide.
There are real pedophiles out there.
Yeah, man. I think there's a widespread of laziness within parenting, in the sense of, like, there is this belief that the society will educate and not me. Do you know what I mean? And so, for example, like...
But you speak from a voice of someone who's not doesn't have a child, though.
I speak from a voice of someone who... From the outside. I speak from a voice of someone who works with a lot of children, though.
Yeah, understood, but you still know that it's not raising
a
child.
No, but I've seen... Right, for example, if you're someone who raises a child right now, you're going to say, oh, you don't have a child, so you don't know what you're talking about, right? But you only know your child and your next-door neighbour and your cousin's child, right? I know shitloads of kids because I'm in an industry where I work in.
Yeah, so again,
but
you're
but,
not a parent, though.
I'm not a parent, yeah. but I'm all constantly coming across parents.
Yeah, exactly, you are. You're seeing things from a different... You're seeing things from an angle where you're not part of it. Okay. So you are not, it's just like white people can never say, I totally understand black people, because no, you don't. You know, so you're not a parent.
Yeah,
so
I'm not.
I understand the feeling, because I think you're onto something that is important, and I see it in my, I'm not a parent, but my sister's a parent, and their family. Like,
I'm not black, but I know black people.
Yeah, I know black, but I know black people. I'm not a dog lover, but I know a shit ton of people love
dogs. I know
dogs.
A shit loads of dogs. I've seen a lot of dogs. I've seen loads of dogs.
Yeah, I see.
I call my friend my dog.
I see, like I get worried that, you know, especially with the technology we have out here, that it's easier to sort of give your kid like a tablet and just say, ah, oh, just play on that for a little bit. I'm gonna chill out. And, you know, you're missing out on very key one-to-one time.
Yeah.
But hold on. But at the same time, I think I'm saying that because I don't understand what it's like to live with that kid for every single minute of your day. You know what I mean? And you're raising a child. Mm. And you're just finding solutions to for longevity of how much you can input that kid. It's not lazy parenting. It's sort of adjusting in a world that's radically changing.
It is lazy parenting. Listen.
It's not.
No, it is lazy parenting. The problem is that, look, in the past... Your ability to source information was limited, right?
Right.
And therefore, parenting required less of an effort because there's only so much information you can gain. You can only gain information from the things around you.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
Now that we have internet, you can gain information from things around you and beyond.
Yeah.
But because of that, with greater knowledge comes greater responsibility. And as a parent, regardless of what the task is, whether how strenuous or annoying it's still your task. With internet now, you give your kid the iPad because you don't want to spend time with the kid anymore. Right? But the iPad would teach whatever the kid finds on the iPad. No, but don't say again, because for example, proper parenting would have your kids knowing what is acceptable.
Yeah, you're saying that from because, a critical point of view.
Not from my perspective. Yeah. Not from perspective. I'm saying that.
I'm about to.
Let me land. Your sibling, when she talks to her kids and she teaches her kids, do the kids go in and look up things that she's not allowed or he's not allowed.
No, they stick the
rules, right? Yeah. Because they've bedded in the parenting system.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is that there's a lot, because I've come across a lot of the stories. There's a lot of parents who do just give the tablet and say, do what you like, just don't talk to me anymore. And then that child is left to be educated by a tablet, which will show them whatever they find. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but, I suppose that's what she was aiming to do with the film, which is like,
yeah.
Just expose that, you know, it's
do better job.
You know, well, especially the way the internet is right now. The internet is a right fucking wilderness right now.
It's a mess.
So she's trying to highlight that. However, I still stick by the fact that she was sloppy with the photography.
I think she was on point. If it's done such a job of creating such a conversation, then I think she's really hit her mark.
Well, because, you know, but I get the overall success. I'm saying that. The way she presented her idea, maybe it wasn't with the awareness that not everyone's going to be accepting about this. Like, for example,
but that's the point.
Yeah, yeah,
that's the point.
I know it's out there. Like, look, I'm a big fan of
I'm saying that
there's some scenes which are extremely uncomfortable to
watch. But that's the point.
Yeah.
If it wasn't uncomfortable to watch, would it have been as poignant? No, it wouldn't.
No, it wouldn't have.
So there had to be things that were uncomfortable.
I don't think you should take it off Netflix.
I don't think it should go off. I think that people should feel uncomfortable with it.
Yeah.
I think people should feel uncomfortable and have conversation with it. Because I feel like
he's my elongated shots.
Here's my point. Here's my point.
Did you need to have?
Here's my point. If you're annoyed by that content, then you got to ask yourself: are you trying to be oblivious to the topic that's been discussed?
Well, you are. It's not
right?
Even an ask.
Because if you're not, if you're like, I don't want to see this shit, Then it means, because they're not, she's not showing you something that doesn't exist in the world. She's showing you something that's a problem, and then you're like, I don't want to hear about this problem. Then you're being oblivious.
I think that's the problem with people and how they deal with pedophilia. They don't want to talk about it, and it's so serious. Like I've there's there was a documentary on Netflix about Larry Nessar, this Olympian, doctor who was just
abusing left, right, and center.
Left, right, and center, and how the system protected them. Yeah. Like, but people don't want to talk about that. Like, Jimmy Savile happened, and it's almost like they're trying to stop talking about it. I mean, you don't even mention it ever again. And it's Jeffrey Epstein as well. And so there's a lot. I agree with it. I agree that we need to talk about how are we protecting our little girls? Like, how are we protecting our little boys?
I think how are we, more so, you know, we need to avoid trying to avoid the conversation.
Oh, shit. Up-to-date news. There's a Netflix show called Cheers. I just read the story recently. There's a guy who I once saw in one clip of like a red carpet thing, and he was talking to all these fans. They found it, and he was like, "I found it." I think he admitted to receiving sexual images from a 30-year-old boy. See, these things are happening, and because we're not talking about it, we're not talking about the risks.
Well, that's the point. Because like people love to run away from. Not people, because if I'm saying people, it's like I'm judging everyone. We all do. We all participate.
It's not in a concerted effort to keep talking about this.
Yeah, but there's just something like the idea that you can be annoyed when you're presented things that you don't necessarily like, right? And then blame the thing for itself rather than discuss what the thing is.
I take back what I said, actually. It's a really good film. Yeah, it's an important film.
It's an important film. Yeah. It's an important film. Yeah. Because it's like saying, like, okay, why, if you feel that way, if you feel this film is awful, but you're also the kind of person who likes to watch Miss Teen America or beauty pageants with little girls. What are you saying?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, if this film was bad, then you should cancel all beauty pageants because they're literally doing the same thing. You're sexualizing people for the benefit of it. If this thing is bad, why do newspapers have page 3 models?
Page 3 was weird, wasn't it?
Page 3 models. Why are they still here?
But no, but we're not talking about. I'm
talking about even in adults. Right? Yeah. Because the larger conversation is the idea that for some reason we all pretend that we're this functional, high minded creature, but yet we're all constantly sexualized.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about that. We're talking about pedophilia. Pedophilia is wrong.
Yeah,
right?
I'm just gonna put a larger
argument. But we're talking about that specifically.
Okay.
And I agree that we don't talk about that specifically. I feel like we need to talk about it all the time in order so we can start talking about solutions. For example, like access centers, I think they're doing them now more so as access centers for young kids who are already having symptoms of, or are already feeling that their attraction is the wrong way around, right? Where do you put them? Just like psychiatric hospitals, where you can help them those things and manage to be like a normal, because it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing not to have a paternal feeling or maternal feeling towards a child.
You're right. But what I'm saying is that, well, the problem is this, is that because pedophilia is vilified, and I'm not saying it's a righteous act or anything like that, but I'm saying it's vilified. So anyone who does feel feelings or tendencies has nowhere to go to try and deal with their feelings or tendencies when they could have been helped. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Because if you go to a place and you're like, I feel like a paedophile, I feel like I'm attracted to kids. Yeah, who are you going to talk to? What's the next thing they're going to do? Yeah. You're going to be arrested. You lose your feelings straight away. So you can't come out and say, like, you can't get in front of it.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
And that's why this is important. And also in terms of the reverse situation, it's important to now have this conversation with your kids and say, look, what are you watching? Let me see.
Yeah, parents. As a parent, you have to be there. You have to be constantly.
The dangers are out here, man.
They're real.
That YouTube algorithm is dangerous. And a lot of what the film does, I'll just finish off on what this film actually does so well, is that it shows. I feel like people say, the obvious fact is this film's about sexualizing young women.
Mm.
But I don't think that's actually what the film's about. The film is really about the impact of social media on young girls.
I thought
and differently. How it can change. Because even in the film, she seems to escalate in her obsession to have the phone to the point where she actually sends like a picture of a vagina. And it's another horrible scene to watch, very difficult scene to watch in that film. But I think it's also showing that film is more about this obsession to be liked, because the whole film is a very different retelling of the college story. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you.
So it's But the danger of it is they can be so young, okay, and they're going through cycles that we all know are dangerous to us as well. So we need to be more conscientious about how much we're using our phones and stuff like that, and how your kids are using your phones.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. My final point of it is just that I feel like it's about showing people about a darker, the real side of what they like to do or what they entertain. Do you know what I mean? Because there's so many people who do let their daughters walk around with pants that say juicy on the bum and things like that. There are loads of people who do that. And I think it's just showing that it's weird, the fact that you do that. Because it is weird, you know? Like, you can't let your kids walk around in a crop top and just think that's okay.
Yeah, it's not. I'm really uncomfortable.
It's not. And it's hot pants and things like that. Like, yeah. What is it? It's not that it's not that they can't do it, but it's that before you do that, what is the message you think you're putting out? Yeah. Just have a think about that first. What is the message you think you're putting out? Because in every message, in everything you do, there's a message in it.
How do you say no, though? Because if your little daughter is coming up to you and saying, like, I really want this, and you just want to make her
happy. I say no, because in the same sense, if I had a daughter that came out and said, I want to play with matches, I'd go, no.
Well, it's not matches, isn't it? It's just hot pants. So.
Yeah. It's just hot pants. But what do they lead to? What is the outcome of this? Because what? They're going to wear hot pants and then go to school, and the boys are going to be like, oh, you look so sexy, and then what?
Mate, sometimes I feel like some of these things are just uncontrollable. You just have to roll with the punches. You know, like especially when they enter puberty, and you've noticed in your nephew, I've noticed in my nephew, he's getting to that stage where he's just like, he just wants to be left alone.
But by the time they reach there, because they've had that bedding in from parents, wants and needs are moderated. You know what I mean? They're not out here just doing the most. Whereas, like, if you've been left alone to raise yourself, by the time you get to puberty, you don't wanna get her pussy. You wanna grab the pussy.
Are you talking about Donald Trump's kids?
They grab pussies. They must grab pussies. Are you telling me they're respectful towards the pussy? No, they're not.
Maybe that's the key to success.
Yeah,
the key. Just pat it one time.
Right. So that's the end of the episode. But before we go, I just wanted to say one more thing, is that if you did like the podcast, if you like what we're doing, can you please subscribe to the podcast? It really, really helps with those algorithms, all right?
Yeah. We should do it.
Yeah. Subscribe, man. Your mom would want you to do it as well. And she's a good woman. And you're a good guy. Girl. Trans person, cisgender, who knows?
Yeah, whatever that means.
Monkey fish out.